This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Isaiah 43:19, it's God speaking, okay? Man, I love the word. How many of you guys love the word? I love the word, but the parts in the word where it's God speaking, and then it's Isaiah, it's the writer of Isaiah, and Isaiah chronicling it, and they're writing what God's saying. And you know what he said? Man, I'm gonna do a new thing. I'm gonna do a new thing in your life. I'm gonna do something that is gonna overwhelm you. But listen, and then he says, look, I'm gonna give you rivers in the desert. I'm gonna give you a road or a highway in the wilderness, and I'm gonna give you rivers in the desert. See, what God's talking about here is opportunity. When he says, I'm gonna do a new thing in you, it's not like a hairdo. It's something where it's like, you know, I think I'm gonna become a vegan. You know, or I'm not, it's not that kind of new thing. See, what God's saying here is, I'm gonna give you some opportunity. Now listen, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His opportunity are not our opportunity. Okay, so understand that there's a God, you're just not him. Okay, so there's opportunity coming. Are you ready for that opportunity? And listen, because you're looking for opportunity in this pristine, you're looking for this opportunity you've been dreaming about. And then God will bring your opportunity in front of you, and you'll think, wait a second, it doesn't look like my dream opportunity. But let me just tell you, he wants to do a new thing. Man, the deserted, the dry areas of your life, he's gonna bring rivers. And you know what those rivers turn into when you begin to build on them? A resort. Man, where you go anywhere in the world where they bring water to the desert, it becomes lush and it becomes the place people want to be. And that's what that opportunity is in your life. Are you ready for his opportunity? Is it going to come the way you picture it? I doubt it. I'm telling you, and let me just put it in first person. It never did in my life. That the opportunity God gave me never came in the snapshot of opportunity that I was expecting. I'll tell you, one of the strongest stories of opportunity is one that I've heard at dinner time with Bob Hurley. We were riding our Harleys, a bunch of guys, and man, we just stopped and had dinner, and he talked to us about his opportunity, that it didn't come like the opportunity he was expecting, but it was such an incredible opportunity. And what it did is it paved the way for this incredible opportunity. And really, honestly, some of the most incredible just life that I've ever seen in anybody. But I'll just tell you that this word, man, you've got to take heart. But see, how this comes, how this works in our lives is that we have to be in the Word every day. Write this stuff down, will you? Don't just commit it to your memory. Man, you have to read your Bible. How many guys, man, you have a Bible? And listen, it's great to have one on your phone, but I think you need the book too. Like, if the phone goes out, if you drop it in your turlet, anybody done that? I dropped my phone one time in a Waffle House, in a urinal. You know that 3-second rule? I went over to that antibacterial, anybody grossing out right now? Anybody germ phobias are just going off the charts right now? No, I never had a germ issue in my life. How many of you guys ever hung out with Carrie Mitchell, Mason Mitchell, her husband? Oh, dear God. No, you hang out with Mason for like an hour. You got germ phobias. No, we'd walk up to a door. He'd reach his pocket. He'd pull out a paper napkin. He'd open the door. I'd be going, dear God, this guy may know something I don't know here. So I'm looking. I walk up now. I look at handles. It's like, If I can see a fingerprint on there, there's probably some nasty germs, oaky germs. But man, I went over to that, I went right by the soap and the water and the, and I went to the squirter thing that squirts the antibacterial, like kill, hopefully killing everything, straight alcohol, rubbing alcohol solution. And I mean, I coated that phone. Man, I was like this, and man, I and it's dripping off. I went back to our table and said, he said, what is up with your phone? Don't ask. If you need to borrow it, think twice, because it's disgusting. I just feel like I need to share that somehow. I just felt like I needed to. I need to get back on track. You need to read the Word. You need to have a Bible. You're liable not to drop that Bible in a urinal, okay? So it'll be handier, okay? But you got to read the Word every day. You got to do it multiple times. And you know, and I want to bring some correction. And we used to call him Elder Houston. We're not calling him Elder Houston anymore. He's now the dean. The dean of the second mile right there, baby. No, the dean will ask you, have you been in the Word? Well, we're up in the ante a little bit now. Man, how many times today have you been in the Word? Man, that's what we've got to do. We've got to be in the Word. As often as you do this is what Jesus said. What? As often as you eat. They were getting together for dinner. Man, you have an in-between meal snack? You need to have an in-between meal little Bible time. Man, you got to read the Word. And it doesn't have to be for hours. You don't have to face the east and sit like an Indian. And no, you know what? You just have to just read the Word a little. I meant like a from India Indian. I'm going to make some good points, I'll say, okay? So the offensive part, just slide by the offensive parts, okay? But you have to be in the Word multiple times every day. Number two, you have to prayerfully study God's Word. Prayerfully study His Word. Here's how you start doing this. How many of you guys would like to start prayerfully studying His Word? Can I see your hands? Okay, here's how you start. You say this, God, I am reading Your Word now. And I'd like to study it. So I need something that applies to me to jump out at me, okay, God? I need it to become real to me. And then you begin reading. And you begin seeing things like, wait a second, God just, man, Pastor Bill talked about Isaiah 43:19. Maybe I should read that. God, show me, man. And then you know what? Because there's a part right there in the middle of that verse where God said, don't you think you're going to know it? It's like, oh, my gosh, God's going to give me opportunity, and He's going to make it obvious to me. Oh my gosh, this is powerful. Well, if you're prayerfully studying the Word, man, it's not just focus, it's beyond that focus. You're prayerfully studying it. God, I want to get this. And that's number three, the part here. I'm not preaching yet, okay? So these aren't the points. But the third point where if you wanna be ready for that opportunity, you gotta be in the Word every day multiple times. You have to prayerfully study His Word, and you have to have an I get it attitude. I'll tell you what, I have a supernatural, superhuman patience. I'm the most patient person I know. Ask the staff that's here. I know a lot of times those guys talk about me behind my back, and they call me, they refer to me as Mr. Patience. Have you guys heard that? Okay, I'm the most patient. I am almost a perfect human being. I'm so patient. Because the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. And I'm so patient that I'm almost perfect, okay? Rarely are you gonna see imperfections in my life. I'm so patient. But I don't have patience for people that when you're trying to talk to them, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, I don't get it. Because quit saying I don't get it. Start saying I don't want to. Or start saying I'm not gonna try. Let me tell you what we have to do. You wanna get through a trial, you gotta try. Man, you want to, the test that you're in, you got to try. See, God's going to meet you right where you are. And He wants to give you incredible opportunity, and He wants to make it obvious to you. But what we've got to do is we've got to be in the Word multiple times every day. I'm talking about opportunity. I'm not talking about you having a church position. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about incredible opportunity. You got to be in the Word multiple times every day. Man, you got to have a Bible handy. Man, you got to be able to read it. The Bible on your phone's not bad. I just personally believe you need a book. You need paper, pages. You need something you can take notes. You know why? You know why I do? It's kind of the reason, like, if you ask me, hey, do you believe there's a rapture? The church will be raptured. Yes, I do, because I always have. The word says we'll be caught up in the air with him. There's a couple more things, but it's not something I discuss. It's not something I argue about. Somebody say, are you a rapture guy? Yeah, I'm a rapture guy. Well, how come? Because I always have been. And to me, at the end of the day, if we're a rapture guy, where do we end up? With Jesus. If we're not a rapture guy, where do we end up? With Jesus. Either way, we win, okay? But I'm a rapture guy. But see, just like that, to study the word, you have to have it. I understand the whole digital age, okay? I'm 56. I say I understand it. I know there is that. I don't understand it, okay? But I would underline it. I'd highlight and I'd circle it. And I'd write a note. And I'd be, you know, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. I remember I circled effectual and fervent. And then I just meditated on those two words. Man, effectual. Man, that means effective. That means, man, God's word. Man, that we're believing, that effectual, fervent, that we're praying God's word. And then fervent, that we're passionate about it. See, so I'd write God's word over effectual. I'd write passionate about over fervent. And then anytime I'd go past that page, it would jump back out. It was a familiar verse. It was like an old friend. How many of you guys would see, man, you'd see an old friend. If you're like me, you've got old friends from Belleville, Illinois, and from Warrenton, Missouri, and from St. Louis, and from Springfield, from Tulsa, from Riverside, California, from LA, from Dallas, from Grapevine. Man, all these places, I'd see somebody, and they'd say, hey, man, how you been? I'd say, man, good. And in my mind, I've got to bring that reference, like, where do I know you from? Remember, we went to high school. It's like, no, I didn't go to high school with somebody that old. Dear God, how old are you? What's happened to you, man? How many guys, Mike, you see some guys you went to high school with? Those suckers are old, Scott. You visit those guys in the nursing home and stuff? Those old folks? He's a dean now. But do you guys love that new name, the dean? Huh? Here, we're gonna vote on it. We're going to let Bob Hurley Sr. have the vote. All in favor of Scott Houston being the dean, say aye.
Aye.
You guys don't get a vote. Did y'all get it? The eyes have it. Okay, but it's got to be familiar, and you have to be able to reference it. You have to build a reference for it. And you know what? Man, my Bible is that for me. My phone, and the other thing about if your Bible's on your phone, what do you do when you're reading the Word and you get a text? What do you do when you're reading the Word and if you have a Facebook account? Okay, I got to quit saying I don't have one because I do. It's not me, it's me, it's me. It's my picture. It's some things I think I said. But I've never gotten a Facebook alert, but if you get a Facebook alert and you're reading the word on your phone, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go to the Facebook, it's like heroin. That's why I don't do it. Heroin's bad. Write that down. Are you ready for your next opportunity? Man, that's the question. Jeremiah 29:11. Here's God again. Okay, we're referencing scripture that it's God. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Man, you guys reading that? Man, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not evil. And now listen, to give you a future and a hope. Do you understand what God links with your future in here? Come on, help me. Do the math. Hope. Hope is tied. Number one. Number one tonight. Write this down. Hope is tied to my future. There's hope tied to my future. Man, what's up, man? I'm hopeful. I'm hope-filled. It's not blind faith we have either. Our eyes have been opened. Man, how many guys in here know Jesus? How many guys in here know the power of his resurrection? It's not blind hope anymore. It's not blind faith anymore. There's hope tied to the future. You know, in Jesus, it makes it real clear to us in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Man, the kingdom of God here, if you have a Bible above those words, the kingdom of God, right, God's way of doing things. It's the king's domain. Man, the kingdom of God, it's God's way of doing things. And his righteousness. Man, seek that first, and all these things will be added unto you. Number two, you need to set up your next shot if you're a golfer, or set up your next step. You know, I think about that, you know, I love to play golf, and sometimes I'm good, and sometimes I'm not very good. And other people, there's people that are like me that are hit and miss, good and not very good. They'll say, well, that's just golf. Well, I'm not sure, Rory, I'm not sure that other guys that are real good at it say that, okay? But the point is that in golf, if you want to be good at golf, you have to set up your next shot with the shot that you're taking right now. And you know what? You think about that in your life. You think about the shot that you're taking right now. You think about the step that you're taking in your life right now, Tom. That what if that step that you're taking sets up that next step and that next shot, that next step, man, puts you in an incredible place. You know, you might not be able to see because you're looking at you're looking through natural eyes. See, there, you have natural eyes, and then you have your faith has eyes. See, your faith gives you the vision that God wants you to have, but your natural eyes, man, it takes into account whether the sun's shining, how the wind's blowing, man, the whole thing. You know, you go back to golf. To the average golfer, man, if it's windy, they have the dickens. It's so difficult. Any guys ever played golf when it's real windy? Man, it just seems like that the wind's all, you're always hitting into the wind, and it's more difficult. Well, when you're hitting in the wind in golf, you know what? You slow your swing down. You know what Ben Hogan said, one of the greatest golfers of all time? He said, wind will never affect a good golf shot. And you know what? I think about that. And I think about God's word. And I think about this, the next step that you take, the next step in your life, the next shot that you have, that it's going to set up the shot after that. Man, the step that you're about to take is going to set up your next step. And so you look at this and you're like, oh my gosh, but the wind is contrary. Man, the wind of the world can't affect, man, a step that we take toward God. Which leads me to really the ultimate point here in thinking about the opportunity that God has in front of us, is that it positions our life closer to God. See, that's where I want to be. I want to be closer to him. Man, no matter how the world's pulling me, no matter what's going, does the world pull any of you guys? Do situations in your life try to pull you along? You know, God's going to lead us. He's not pulling us. He's not pushing us. He's leading us. He's leading, guiding us in all truth. Man, he makes our way straight. But see, are there things that are happening? Man, do your emotions ever pull you around? Sometimes you feel like you're being led by the nose by your emotions. Or by fear, does anxiety pull you around? Man, you think about people, no matter how much you have. You think about Robin Williams. Tragic, heartbreaking. But you know what? It only leads me back to Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only hope. Man, he had everything, had the world by the tail. Man, the world is mourning him right now, and he hung himself with a rope. Oh my gosh, it's tragic. My heart just breaks. He made me laugh so many times. He was so captivating. Man, just a comedic genius. Man, it seemed to be such a loving and caring man. But desperately needing a Savior. Desperately needing Jesus. See, we've got to look at our lives. The world needs Jesus. I'm standing in front of those football players, and let me tell you something. These guys are very, very good. They're talented. Man, there was a Samoan guy there that's like 6'3 and 378 pounds. They sent him to this fat camp. They sent him to a place for 2 weeks that guaranteed that he'd lose a little weight. They just needed to lose just a little weight. Weighed 378 pounds. Man, he got off the shuttle after he went to that deal, and he walked up and he had his results from it for 2 weeks, and he hands it to his coach. Coach opens it up. He gained 5 pounds in 2 weeks at fat camp. You know what he said to the coach? He said, Coach, I beat him. We're like, man, I'm looking at this guy. Man, three guys trying to block him, and he's just powering through them. But you know what? He stood during that altar call. Why? He desperately needed Jesus. You know what he looked at me? He said, man, I'm from American Samoa, and my parents are great, but let me just tell you something. Man, I've been living my life wrong. I need Jesus. I said, well, you have him now, man. He goes, I believe I do. Man, you know what? You got to position yourself closer to God. Whatever you're going to do tonight, is it going to get you closer to him? Being at church tonight, right now, are you getting closer to God? Do you feel like you're getting drawn in? Do you? Man, if not, man, sit up. If not, man, pay attention. If not, look at somebody and cheat off of their notes like you used to in junior high and get the points that they already wrote down. Because Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, look how simple this is. He says, ask and it'll be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Number three, ask. Now listen, you can ask from as far away as they could hear your voice. But then it says to seek. See, I don't personally believe these are standalone items. Well, you know, I've asked God 50 times, and where is he? No, you know what? That ask is the first step. The second step is seek. The third step gets you close enough within arm's reach to knock. Ask, seek, knock. Man, that's what my life is. You know, in the original text, you know what it says? Ask, keep asking. Seek, keep seeking. Knock, keep knocking. Ask, seek, knock. See, we're here just thinking, man, I did it. Look, I took the step, God. It's nothing. No, you know what? Take that next step. What's the next step? Start seeking him. I'll tell you, it got the point. This became so real to me. Do you love it when the word becomes real to you? No, for real. Is it just me? I was a brand new Christian, knew nothing, and the word starts becoming real to me. Remember that, Glenn? Man, you don't know anything. It becomes real to you. There were a couple scriptures that somehow, man, God did it where they converged in my life at the same time. One, where Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, there's not a temptation known to man that God won't provide an avenue of escape. I'm a brand new Christian. All I know is Jesus saved my life. All I know is I love God. I don't know much else. And you know what? You know what happened? I'm standing there. I'm with all kinds of people, and you're with people, you're going to get tempted. And I'm with these people. It's like, uh-oh, wait a minute. I feel weird inside. I feel like I'm about to sin. I don't want to. It feels dirty. And I remember, I'm in a party. All kinds of party stuff going on. I'd been a Christian like a couple weeks. You know, I'm at a party. What are you doing? I'm going to a party. But you're a Christian. I know. What do you mean? But all this party stuff's going on, and I'm getting offered stuff. I don't know about you guys. The first month I was a Christian, I was offered more drugs. If I'd have been offered those kind of drugs before I was a Christian, I'd be a rich man. But I was offered so many drugs, so much party. People are offering me. It's almost like they're compelled, and they were. The enemy was using them, and man, it just tested me and the testing of my faith. But I'd have to say no. And then finally, this temptation comes, and it's like, I feel myself like I could cave right now. And I start going like this. And if you'd have been there and asked me, said, man, what are you doing? I'm looking. What are you looking for? I'm looking for a way out. God will provide you an avenue of escape. I need to run. I need to get out of here. Man, get out. God will give you an avenue out. The other one was this verse here that we have to, that and then ask, seek, and knock. And you know what? I've just been seeking God. Man, I'm during worship tonight. I know it's powerful when I just start praying in the Spirit. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm praying in the Spirit. Like a machine gun praying in the Spirit. And it's like, they must be doing something, because let me just tell you, it's causing me to seek God. I want to be around people that cause me to ask, cause me to seek, cause me to knock, and keep knocking. Man, I want to be persistent. You know why? Because if I could be persistent and I could keep asking, seeking, knocking, I'm going to find some incredible opportunity. Man, that's what God promises me. Man, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. And you know what the Bible says? The door will be opened unto you. Man, doors of opportunity. Go back to Isaiah 43:19 where we started. Man, he wants to do a new thing. Man, don't you think you're going to know it? Man, he's going to give you rivers in the desert. He's going to give you a highway, a road in the wilderness. Man, some of you guys are thinking, man, I'm just wandering along. No, you're on the right path. You know how I know that? You're at church tonight. Man, God's not looking at all the missteps that you had up to this point and the bad things that you've done or been about. Man, all God's thinking about right now is, man, I got them. They're in my house. Man, I remember a couple months ago, I called Brooke. I said, Brooke, what are you doing? She said, man, I'm hanging out. I said, what are you doing? She said, man, I'm about to wash my dog. I said, man, come do it over here. Come on. She said, Dad, I was just at your house last night. I said, I know. She said, you fell asleep. I said, I know. She said, well, it's late. I'm going to wash my dog, and you're going to go to bed, go to sleep. I said, I know. She said, why do you want me to come over? I said, I don't want you to talk. I don't want to talk to you. I just want you to be here. Well, you know what? God's different than that. God wants you to be here because he wants to talk to you. He's got some stuff to say to you. He's got some stuff for you. You'll say, well, God's not about that stuff. You don't know what you're talking about if you say that. Go back to Matthew 6:33. I quoted it earlier. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that stuff will be added unto you. You'll say, well, how do you know that that stuff is the stuff that I want and need? It's because he's talking about what the Gentiles are going after. Gentiles aren't going after spiritual things. The Gentiles are going after stuff that satisfies their flesh. The Gentiles are going after stuff that's going to make them feel important, to give them status. The Gentiles are brand brats, okay? They want the good stuff. That's what moves them. And you know what? God said, look, don't be going after that stuff. Seek first my kingdom, my way of doing things, my righteousness. You know what you're doing by being here today? You're being righteous. You're doing the right thing. I was sitting in the airport getting ready to fly to St. Louis. Anybody ever driven to St. Louis? How long does it take you to drive to St. Louis? 5 hours, me driving my truck. Wouldn't you say 5 hours? Okay, I go to the airport, and you know what? I'm there half hour early. I'm ready to go. I got my boarding pass. I'm A1 on Southwest. It's like, hey, you little old lady, back up. You're in my place. And I'm showing them too. I'm letting everybody know. I'm fanning myself with it. It's a big A1. You want some, huh? Hey, you take your B-32 back there with the smokers. How about that, huh? Back there where they're covering up the exhaust fan, and they're smoking back there. You go back there with those yahoos back there, because look what I am. See what I am? Read it and weep, okay? I know you got a walker and an oxygen tank, but I'm A1, okay? And I'm sitting there. You're a little prideful. Anybody ever gotten prideful a little bit? They say, well, our flight's going to be about 15 minutes late. Just relax. It's all good. I'm good with that. Because it would take 5 hours for me to drive to St. Louis. About 30 minutes later, they said, it will be another 30 minutes. I said, that's no big deal. It's just been an hour. It would take me 5 hours to drive to St. Louis. 2 hours later. Oh, yeah. Oh, it gets worse. They said it will be 2 more hours. I'm like thinking, God, forgive me. God, where's that person I could sew this A1 to? I need to give you my seat. I'm convicted of my sin. God, help me of my pride. I could have driven there. I'd be eating Emo's Pizza right now in St. Louis, Missouri. But listen, I don't know why I told you that story. It's getting late. God has an opportunity for you, all right? Do you believe that? Man, just thank him right now for the opportunity that he has for you. You know what? Don't be worrying about it being your dream opportunity. Just know that it's the next one, the new thing. God's going to give you a new thing, an opportunity Shall you not know it? I believe it's going to be quick. Man, just be looking for opportunity, opportunities to bring Jesus into the mix. Man, God loves it when we do that. And then opportunities maybe to lay hands on the sick, to lead somebody to Jesus. Man, you don't know who's suffering. Man, the way Robin Williams did. Had the world by the tail, man. Don't look at the outside, man. Looks at that. And hear God's voice and business opportunity. You know what I believe the opportunity that God puts in front of you is going to be, though? Work. It's going to be toil. It's going to be work. You're going to be a living sacrifice in the middle of it. But you're going to become God's purpose, holy, acceptable to Him. It's your reasonable service.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.